Today is Wednesday, March the 20th, Tanit Esther, doing something on Inyane Purim.
Okay, Rabotai. As today is Tanit Esther, tonight and tomorrow are Purim, I wanted to do something from Megillat Esther and focus on one simple pasuk that has much to teach us. Much to teach us.
Not
me. No, it's not. This comes from the very end of Megillat Esther. It is in the ninth chapter, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. It's the fifth to the last Pasuk of the Megillah. So the one that I bracketed on that first page. The Megillah ends by stating in the previous two entries, Vatichtov Esther Hamalka Bat Avichael Mordechai Hayudi et Kol Tokev Likayem et Igeret Hapurim Hazot Hashenit. Esther and Mordechai write everything that took place in order to affirm that Am Yisrael in the future will observe the days of Purim. They had written one letter which was intended to observe Purim that year on the 14th and in Shushan on the 15th. Now they wrote a second letter to all of Am Yisrael for the purpose of establishing Purim as an eternal chag. Vayishlach Sfarim et kol ha'yudim El Sheva ve'esrim u'meya medina Malchut Achashverosh Divrei Shalom ve'emet. We're not going to focus on that phrase. It's a very tricky phrase. What exactly does that mean? Divrei shalom ve'emet. But here is the essence of the letter. Likayem et yimei ha'purim ha'ele bizmaneihem. To observe the days of Purim at their proper time. Ka'asher kiyam alehem Mordechai ha'yudei v'ester ha'malka. Just as Mordechai and Esther asked them to observe the chashekimu al nafsham ve'al zaram divrei haksomot v'za'akatam, and they should accept it just as they have accepted or assumed for themselves and their descendants the obligation of the fasts and with their lamentations divrei haksomot v'za'akatam. So if I to ask you, what reference is this Divrei Hatzomot V'Za'akatam? What is it referring to? What would you tell them? Observe the Purim like they observe Divrei Hatzomot. Which fasts are we referring to? What's the simple pshat? Everybody interprets this. What? The fasts which Esther initiated, which are described in chapter 4 of the Megillah, where she tells Am Yisrael, Leif, Kinos et kol ha'yehudim asher b'shushan avira v'tzumu alai shloshet yamin gam ani v'na'arotai atzum kein u'v'chein avo al ha'melech ha'shalo kadas. Gather everybody and fast a 3-day fast. According to tradition, that 3-day fast took place, but the third day was the first day of Pesach. It was the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th of the month of Nisan. And that year, the Jew did not observe a Seder. Did not eat matzah. They didn't drink avocados of yayin, because they were fasting. It was a crisis situation, and the members of the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, the men of the Great Assembly, of which Mordechai was a member, deliberated the issue and said that there are times when you have a right to supersede Torah law in times of a crisis and an emergency and suspend all of the obligatory mitzvot of Achila on Pesach for that year. So it's happened other times as well. If you remember in Milachim Aleph, Shlomo HaMelech, that's correct, makes a 7-day celebration for the dedication of the Beit HaMikdash, and he didn't fast on Yom Kippur. It was during the month of Tishrei, And there's so much discussion about that. What was so imperative about not fasting on Yom Kippur? But that's just another example. That's the way everybody interprets that last phrase. And based on that interpretation, the Rav once suggested that that is why we read the Megillah tonight. Essentially, in the time of the Mishnah, there was never reading of the Megillah at night. The main reading, and a lot of people don't know this, main reading is during the day. If you had to choose between one reading, people make an enormous effort to get to shul tonight, and tomorrow, tomorrow you have to kill yourself to get to a Megillah reading. Tonight, Mishkapat. Not saying, of course you should, of course you should. But all of the mitzvot of Purim are only during the day. If you give Mishloach Manot tonight, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. Certainly if you gave it today or sent it 2 days ago, it's a nice gesture. But technically it doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. Same thing if you have a Sudat Purim tonight. You don't fulfill the mitzvah of Sudat Purim. Same thing if you give Matanot Levyonim. You certainly have fulfilled the mitzvah of tzedakah, but you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Matanot Levyonim. All of the mitzvot of Purim are during the day. And in fact, the Mishnah never heard of reading the Megillah at night. Never. The Mishnah only says, Kol Hayom Kasher L'Kriyat HaMegillah. You can read the Megillah tomorrow anytime during the day. Anytime. L'chatchila, we say you should wait until sunrise. B'di'evet, if you read it after daybreak, you are Yotzei the Mitzvah. That's all the Mishnah never talks about, reading the Megillah at night. There is, the Gemara, the Amoraic Talmud, do go ahead and find cause to read the Megillah, without really explaining why they quote a pasuk, and the Rav said it's the following idea. Tzom Gedalia is my best fast of the year. Why is it the best fast of the year? Not because it's short. Asar B'Tavis is short. It's because it represents something which helps us overcome our frustrations. We often pray for a lot of things, particularly people who are in crisis. We pray. And more often than not, after we bare our hearts and pray and petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the next thing is we're attending the Levite. And it is so frustrating. We prayed and prayed and prayed, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. We have been fasting Shivasa B'Tammuz and Asara B'Teves and Tisha B'Av for over 2,000 years. And the Beit HaMikdash has not yet been rebuilt. We're having trouble maintaining control of Har HaBayit, let alone build a shul or a Beit HaMikdash on the Har HaBayit. So you can get a little frustrated. I'm fasting, I'm davening, I said slichot. But Atanas Esther, we fast in recognition of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to our tefillot. It is so heartwarming that there was a decree, Lahashmid, Laharogu, Labeid, at Kol HaYudim, to eradicate all Jews, and it never happened. It never happened. And part of the reason was, perhaps a primary reason, was based on the tefillot of, and the sincere repentance. Don't forget, the Jews had assimilated into the culture of Ahasuerus. When that party was thrown, Jews asked Mordechai where they are allowed to attend. And the Gemara, the Medrash, records the debate. Mordechai said, you're not allowed to attend. He, according to some, because of one feature of that particular party. Vekelim, Mikelim, Shonim. They were drinking wine with utensils of the destroyed Beit HaMikdash. He says, we're going to go celebrate at a party where they're drinking from the utensils of the Beit HaMikdash. Beyond that, Mordechai didn't want them to attend the party because it meant involving yourself in the culture of Paras u'Madai. And many Jews succumbed to the culture of Paras u'Madai. And hence, the fast was not only tshuva it was basically a tshuva process to restore our bearings and recognize that interacting with the culture of Paras u'Madai is not necessarily in harmony with the values of Torah. And therefore, they did tshuva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to that tshuva. So we fast on Tanis Esther, not because the crisis continues. The crisis ended. And one of the major features was the three-day fast that Esther had summoned Am Yisrael, which we commemorate, according to some, on the 13th of Adar, even though this three-day fast didn't take place in Adar. It took place in Nisan. Not everybody agrees that that's the historical origin to Tanit Esther. Said the Rav, we read the Megillah tonight to highlight the successful Tanit Esther. I read the Megillah tonight to publicize not the miraculous victory that Am Yisrael defeated Haman, but rather because you have to let every citizen of Am Yisrael know that tefillah and tzedakah and teshuvah are effective. Not always, but they are effective. And therefore the Mishnah Brura writes that it is preferred not to eat tonight until after the reading of the Megillah. The fast is over whenever it's over. Why don't we wait to the grid? It's another hour. Why don't we wait another hour? Said the Rav, that's why the Mishnah Brura made that proposition, to tell it. If you want to demonstrate that the connection between the reading of the Megillah and is the Tanis Esther, not the Purim tomorrow, therefore how do you symbolize that? By not eating until after the Kriyas HaMegillah. So the reading tonight is based on the standard interpretation of the phrase Divrei Hatzomot V'Za'akatam, that we should observe the days of Purim just as we were willing to accept Esther's recommendation to fast. Because, you know, sometimes promulgating a festival is not very easy. You know, not everybody likes to join in new activities, but he reminded them, you accepted the fast, everybody responded, please join me in observing Purim for all future generations. However, there is another interpretation. That is going to be provided by Ibn Ezra, and we are going to see, but not ready for it yet. Along the way, I just want to show you two other comments that are made based on this puzzle. So if you turn the page, I didn't number them, I forgot to number them. This is the Alshir commenting on the Gilat Esther. He is an Ashkenazic commentary on Tanakh who lived in the 17th century. He wrote a lot on Tanakh, all of Chumash and much of Tanakh. And he is going to emphasize the word in the pasuk, "Likayim et yimei hakurim ha'ele bizmanehem," in their proper times. That's the English translation of Sepharia that you have on the first page. To observe at their proper time. Now, when else should you observe? Not at the proper time? What's the proper time just? Of course it's got to be on the designated days. Well, what's the place of chiddush? So he makes a suggestion. Yitachen ki eitzel ha'amin monin hayom yom v'layla. Because throughout the entire world, the day is observed daytime and then nighttime. Okay? Even though it starts 12 a.m., but at 12 a.m. is leading into the morning, so the day precedes the night. V'in kein, haya hanes biyom yudalid, v'layla shalacharav. what actually happened on Purim. What actually happened on Purim? The miracle actually took place daytime, and it extended to the following night. V'chein lamukafin. The same phenomenon took place in relationship to those walled cities, mukafin, the walled cities. That they took place on the 15th, what we call Shushan Purim, and then extended to the night beyond the Shushan Purim. Ugzeirat Haman, and the decree of Haman certainly was that way. Haya biyom yudgimel v'layla shela acharav. It was on the 13th during the day and the following night. Rak etzel dat ha-Yisraeli, except for Am Yisrael, hayom holech achar alayla. The day does not precede night, but day follows night. Now everything by us, our calendar, is predicated on Vayhi Erev and then Vayhi Boker. V'lochein sholach svarim l'kayem et yimei ha-purim ha'ile bizmanehem shalai Yehudim. What the Alshuch says, what is the intention of the word bizmanehem? To follow our schedule, not their schedule. And that you should observe Purim starting tonight and then tomorrow. Tomorrow night there's a shtukin mitzvah to eat and to get to drunk. Never mitzvah to get drunk. But to do anything. Nothing. Tomorrow night. It's tonight and tomorrow. Shehayom holech achar halayla. V'lachein amar b'Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi says, v'sudat purim shechol b'shabbat me'acharin b'leil tet zayin shehamenucha haya bo az v'lo shayech al zeh v'lo yavar k'mo d'frishis. That's not a different issue. It's talking about when Purim by us is a Thursday, and in Yerushalayim and walled cities, it's on a Friday, it's on a Shabbos. So how do you observe Purim on Shabbos? Can't read the Megillah on Shabbos, just as we don't blow the shofar on Shabbos, just as we don't take a lulav. We're afraid that somebody's going to carry their Megillah to shul. So when do they read the Megillah? On Friday. On Friday. Because the Megillah, about its reading, it says, V'lo ya'avor, don't pass go. You're not allowed to pass the time when you're allowed to read. So they're supposed to read it on Shabbos, the 15th. They can't go to the 16th for the Megillah reading, so they read it on Friday, the regular day of Purim throughout Eretz Yisrael and the rest of the world. The Sudah, they eat the next day, on the 16th. They don't eat it on Shabbos, they eat it on the 16th, they eat it on Sunday. That's why it's called Purim Mishulash, the three-day Purim. Friday they read the Megillah, Shabbos is the day of Purim, and they say Al Hanisim in the davening, and on Sunday they eat the Sudah. So he deals with this, when in the Sudah, when should you be eating the Sudah? On the night of the 16th, Saturday night, you can already have your meal, because that's when Shushan Purim technically is over already. And they have shifted to the 15th to the 16th. It's not my issue right now. But the word bizmanehem is to tell us, observe the Purim night following the day. That's his suggestion.
Are we the only people who do Friday, the night starts?
We're the only people that I know who have the night starting the day. Yes. You should know, just you should know this, because when you go to wherever you go shopping, in the Beit HaMikdash, it's not the case. In the Beit HaMikdash, Halayla Holeich Achar Hayom. In the Beit HaMikdash. When you're allowed to eat a korban for one day and one night, it's the day you slaughter it and the next night. Everything in the Mikdash, because that's the way the Mikdash represents pristine world of creation. What did God create first, day or night? Created day. What did he do? Vayomer Elohim, v'yihi or. And then, v'lachoshech kara layla. Then he changed it, vayier vayivoker yom echad. But initially, so the Beit HaMikdash is supposed to represent the absolute pure creation, the day following. That's not my discussion. One other comment, and then I'm going to get to Ibn Ezra. The next page is a Gemara Megillah. Okay, I'm just going to ask a question. You'll fall into my trap, I hope. Can you think of another holiday where there is a ritual to be observed during which you have multiple days to observe that particular ritual? What? Hanukkah is 8 days, but nobody has a different 8 days. Everybody observes the same 8 days. It's the same mitzvah repeated 8 times. So when is the first day of Hanukkah? Always when? The 25th day of the month of Kislev. When do we take a lulav? Everybody takes it on the 15th day of the month of Tishrei. When do we eat matzah? Everybody eats it on the 15th day of the month of Nisan. Suddenly by Purim, there are 5 different days when you can read the Megillah. 5 different days.
It's
Ashemi. On the 11th, what?
It's Ashemi, like
but that's not an observance fact. That's somebody who missed Pesach Rishon because they were unable, disqualified from offering the Pesach Rishon. So that's the makeup there. But the primary day, there are 5 primary days of Megillah. Either the 11th, 12th, or 13th, 14th, and 15th. 5 different days. No, Shavuos is 1 day. That's it. 1 day. Yeah. Okay, that's true. But there's no halacha that you have to say Pashul for the first one. And in fact, there are. You look at Shulchan Aruch, it will say, the Mechaber says, it's almost about Zarek. Him in Kaparos. Don't bother with the Ramah, says God. Big, we Ashkenazim Jews always do these things. But there are some who say, Mamash Avoy Zarek. Walking the tone, stuck into the river, swinging the birds, and things like that. Anyhow, so, Megillah. The first 3 days, the 11th, 12th, or 13th, were designed, depending on how the calendar falls. It's a Monday and Thursday to accommodate people who lived in small villages. People lived in small villages. There was no guarantee that they had somebody who knew how to read the Megillah. They didn't have any guarantee. So on a Monday or Thursday prior to Purim, Monday or Thursday prior to Purim, they would assemble in the big city on the market days to bring their wheat and whatever else they're selling into the market. So they establish that they can read the Megillah on those days since they're in the big city in any event. So if Purim is this year is on a Thursday, what day is the of the month is the previous Monday? The 11th. The 11th of the month. So the Mishnah will say you can read the Megillah on the 11th of the month. If Purim comes out on a Wednesday, the previous Monday is the 12th of the month. If Purim comes out on a Tuesday, the previous day, the previous Monday, is the 13th of the month. Same thing if Purim comes out on a Sunday or a Friday. You always move it back to the previous Monday or Thursday. And the 15th is Shushan Purim or any walled city. So the Gemara asks a question. Why is it that there are 5 different possible dates to observe the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah when by all of the festivals we do it on the exact same day, 1 uniform day? And the Gemara quotes the pasuk we just read. L'kayem d'rebon bizmanehem. What is the, not bizmano, but bizmanehem. What does that mean? Multiple days.
Yeah.
There are multiple days. So they infer from that phrase, bizmanehem, that it doesn't have to be uniform day. Why they chose to do that is a different question. That's a good question. But the fact that they found they needed a reference in the Megillah to feel comfortable, because normally the pattern is 1 uniform day for all of Am Yisrael. 1 day. So that's in the Gemara in Megillah. But now comes to the main part of the shiur. I want you to look at Ibn Ezra. In fact, according to Sepharia, as it says in the middle of the page, this is the second version of Ibn Ezra. Apparently, in the first version of Ibn Ezra's writing on the Megillah, he had nothing to say on this paragraph, on this pasuk, nothing at all. On his second, when he rewrote it, he thought of something to say. And he writes, Vitam kashekiyim aleim Mordechai pa'amayim. Mordechai had two acceptances. One of those two acceptances. V'hine Yisrael hit'anu b'tchila b'nisan. And the Jews, when they fasted, as it's recorded in the Megillah, fasted during the month of Nisan. V'chachomim zal tiknu hata'anit b'yom ha'pachat. The rabbis established Tanis Esther not during the 3 days when it was observed, but on the day of the Yom HaPachat. What do you think the Yom HaPachat is? The day of the decree. When was the decree? The 13th of Adar. 13th of Adar.
Wait, when the decree was issued, or for when the...
When it was supposed to be implemented, okay. The day before. Ulai b'kabbalah haya shehit anu Yisrael b'yom yudim. Maybe there was some type of tradition that they used to fast on the 13th as well. And in fact, Rabbi Yotam says that. Our fast has nothing to do with the fasts of Esther. Nothing to do with the fast of Esther. Tanis Esther is commemorated for something else. There was a decree, and when were we supposed to get killed? When? On the 13th of Adar. And on the 14th of Adar. Well, when you go to battle, one of the things that you do when you go to battle are the soldiers go out and fight. And what does everybody else do? Goes to shul and davens to HaKadosh Baruch and fasts. In fact, the Ramban claims that that is the only time that there is a mitzvah to oraita to pray, where there is eight sarah. But on an ordinary day, Ramban does not believe that there is a biblical obligation to engage in prayer. The Ramban disagrees. But the Ramban says only eight sarah, and this is something like those days. V'ein tam, now comes Ibn Ezra with his chidush. V'ein tam divrei hatzavot al gibul yamim shehit anu. What in the pasuk it says, lekayem aleihem divrei apurim, kasher kiyem aleihem divrei hatzavot, is nothing to do with the 3 days of fasting mentioned in the Megillah. Rak hatam al hadalid hatzavot, it refers to the four fasts, shehem hatzom harivei, that shivas of tamuz, tzom hachamishi, that tishavah, tzom zayin, that's tzom gedalia, v'tzom hayud, that's asar b'tavis. So look now, go back to the pasuk on page number one. Go back to the pasuk on page number one for a minute. Go back to the pasuk. Very differently, and the question is, what's running through Mordechai's mind? L'kayem et divrei hapurim el bizmanehem. What? This is included in the letter. Please observe the Purim on its appropriate days. Kasher kiyam aleihem Mordechai v'Esther amalka, just as Mordechai and Esther observed it the first year spontaneously. V'kasher kimu al nafsham v'al zaram divrei hatzavot v'zakavot. Just like we fast on Tisha B'av. If your kid came home and came with an excuse like that, we should observe Purim just like we fast on Tisha B'av. Just like we fast on Asar B'tavis. You look at him and her and say, you must have misunderstood the lesson. What do you mean, you fast? You observe Purim just like you fasted on Tisha B'av? What's happening? So, it is quite possible that Ibn Ezra had a reference to a Gemara in Masechas Megillah, which describes an enormous debate between the men of the Great Assembly and Esther in particular. Esther wanted to establish Purim as a Yom Tov, as we just read in the text. The men of the Great Assembly said, you're not allowed to add another holiday. That violates the law of Baal Tosif. The Torah says in two locations, Dvarim chapter 4 and chapter 13, Lo Tosifu al Hadavar, Velo Tifu in Mimen. You are not permitted to add onto that which I have legislated, nor are you permitted to decrease anything that I have legislated. So the men of the Great Assembly told Esther, you have no right to add another festival. There are five festivals ordained in the Torah: Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. You can't add any. Coming is later.
They had the same question.
We're going to see how we resolve it. Hold on. Let's talk about Kanukah in a couple of minutes. That was the question. Esther responded, this is recorded in the Gemara, Rabbis, how did you make up the fast of Tisha B'Av? How did you make up the fast of Shavuos and Matanis and Aser HaNedarim? How many fasts do the Torah legislate? One, Yom Kippur. Now how do you fast those things? They responded that although the obligation to fast is only rabbinic, the objective of every fast is rooted in a biblical mitzvah. The purpose of a fast is not to deny us food and to accelerate our diet. That's not the purpose of a fast. The purpose of a fast is to change your routine and hopefully engage in some degree of self-reflection. That's the purpose. It's the mitzvah of doing tshuva, of engaging in cheshbon. Not to wait until Yom Kippur every year, but periodically, and the focus was always the Beit HaMikdash, to somehow mend our ways, correct our deficiencies, to enable HaKadosh Baruch Hu to decide, I'm going to rebuild the third Beit HaMikdash, or ask us to rebuild the third Beit HaMikdash. Tshuva is a mitzvah d'oraita. So although our fast was initiated by rabbinic legislation, it doesn't violate the standard of Lo Tosifu, because it's rooted in a biblical mitzvah. If that's the case, said Esther to the Anshei Knesset HaTorah, what do you think my Yom Tov Purim is all about? What mitzvah of the Torah would you say the mitzvah of the observance of the day of Purim promotes? What mitzvah of the Torah? What? Well, it's, think of a mitzvah. Okay, that might be. Good. But something even more important. If we think that the essence of the mitzvah is persumi nisa, what mitzvah? Good, good. But even more. What? Sanctifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Kiddush Hashem. That's what persumi nisa is all about. To attribute our success, not to ourselves, but to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Purim is the most dramatic way to do it. Because as you well know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said nothing to Mordechai and Esther. Nothing. Purim is the first Yom Tov where man and woman are called upon to be the actors in the drama of Jewish history. Up until now, people were puppets. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, he told the Navi, and the Navi told us what to do. Not much creativity involved. Purim is the beginning of the non-prophetic era. There are no Nevi'im left around. And it's up to us to act on stage. Said Esther, I'm not looking for credit for myself for this Yom Tov. I want people to focus their attention on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the men of the Great Assembly bought her off. Now reread Ibn Ezra. Now we reread Ibn Ezra. On the next to the last page. The we're back. It's Ibn Ezra. The third line. V'ein tam divrei hatzavot al gibul yamin sheitanu. It's not because of the fast hatam. The purpose of that phrase is al hadala hatzavot shemin tzom. Harevi, hamishi, zayin, and yud. In other words, just as Esther pointed out to the Anshei Knesset HaGolah, you had no right to make those fast days. And how did they respond? They said, we do, because it's promoting a biblical value, one of the 613 mitzvot. And does Am Yisrael observe Tisha B'Av and Shivas HaBetamos? Of course we do. Kashe Kiyem Aleihem Divrei HaTzomot. Just as Am Yisrael bought into that argument that observing a Tisha B'Av and a Shivas HaBetamos and Asar HaBetamos is not a violation of Baal Tosi, I, Esther, and Mordechai am asking you, Am Yisrael, to accept the Yom Tov of Purim in the spirit, in the exact same way that I argued with the men of the Great Assembly why they created the four fasts. Because without that little argument between Esther and the Anshei Knesset HaGolah, there would have been no Purim whatsoever. So what model did Esther establish by mandating the observance of Purim on the 14th and 15th of Elul? What model of the Yom Tov? That you can have a Rabbanan Yom Tov not in violation of Baal Tosif, because of what? It promotes a biblical value of Parsumi Nisa, Kiddush Shem Shamayim. It is for this reason, if you go down to the next page, where you have a variety of halachic sources there. First, I'm going to make a statement, then I'm going to ask you to look at two Rambams. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, the way Karo sequence the order of the festivals of the book, the holiday in Arachai. So it goes based on the calendar. Shabbos comes every Shabbos. He discusses over Shabbos first. Then he goes to the calendar. Pesach, that's the first of the months of the Jewish calendar. Then he discusses Shavuot. Then he discusses Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Then Sukkot, then Hanukkah, then Purim. The Rambam switched Purim and Hanukkah. The Rambam discusses Hilchot Megillah and Purim before Hilchot Hanukkah. You can say because it's chronologically, it happened earlier. However, the Rambam doesn't want that to Rambam. Conceptually, he said, if not for this victory of Esther establishing the Yom Tov of Megillah, of Purim, there would have been no Hanukkah. Why? Because they would have objected at the time of the Hashmonaim suggestion to make a Yom Tov. Why would they have objected? Baal Tosef, and now I add festival. Therefore, in addition to that, look at Source Aleph for 1 minute. Source Aleph for 1 moment. I want you to look at the third line. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah. The middle of the third line. V'hadlakat ha-neirot bahen mitzvah midivrei sofrim kikriyat ha-megillah. The Rambam never does that. He doesn't say, you know what, there's a mitzvah to take a lulav, just like there's a mitzvah to take a shayt, to blow a shayt. That's not his style. You have to put on tefillin. I have to put on tefillin, just like I have to wear tzitzis. He doesn't do that. Why is he making this comparison? That the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, Chanukah night, is a mitzvah mid Rabbanan, kikriya samigil. And the next line in Halacha Dalet, kol shechayal b'kriyat ha-megillah, chayal b'hadlakat ner Chanukah. Anybody who's obligated to read the Megillah is obligated to light ner Chanukah. What's the outcome of this equation for? Who needs it? The Rambam is trying to emphasize that the right to observe Hanukkah was predicated upon Esther's establishment convincing, compelling argument about the other occurrence. And this, I believe, is our answer to our Haredi friends who object to our observance of Yom HaTzmahut and Yom Yerushalayim based on the fact that we have no right to establish our own festivals. You need Mashiach, you need a Beis Din. You don't need it. The pattern has already been established when there are heroic events taking place, and anybody who claims they weren't heroic, even Moshe Dayan said, I could see the hand of God with one eye. That's what he said. Dayan was far from a, religious Zionist. He was a tremendous Zionist. But,
Do you think that Esther was strong because she was a queen, or because she became strong when she was a strong person, strong woman? Because it was unusual for a woman.
I would say that it was both. I would say that before she was anointed king, she probably, if I had to analyze her psychologically, she had all of those latent talents, but she didn't have the forum. Like today, a lot of women are looking for a forum to express their incredible scholarship and talent. So we have to grant them a forum. I'm not going to discuss it. Yes.
Would that perhaps another question? Can you establish a holiday
That could have been. That's very possible. That's possible. That fact that the events of Purim took place in Chutzlaretz, that's a possibility. I don't know.
Hashem is Chutzlaretz.
He's all of it. That's correct. We observe all of the Yom Tov. Because, that's a good question. I think the reason is because he was a member of the Anshei Knesset Dargola and had to vote. So she made the proposal and he now is going to vote. If you wanted to just defend Mordechai, in the original proposal, it says Vayichtov Mordechai. The first letter was written only by Mordechai. The second letter, which we just read, I showed the first one, Vatichtov Esther Hamalka U Mordechai Ayudi. But it's a good question. Yeah?
What you just said,
though,
along the lines of Lo Hashemayim, so it's not everything is coming. Obviously, everything
comes
to Hashem, but it is up to us.
No doubt. And in fact, the Ramban makes reference to this in Source Dalit. The Ramban says when he discusses Baal Tosi, he first quotes Rashi. Rashi has a very narrow definition of the violation of Baal Tosi. Rashi never heard of the issue of adding to mitzvah number 614. That doesn't constitute Baal Tosi, according to Rashi. According to Rashi, and the Ramban quotes it, Rashi doesn't give us the definition. He gives us three illustrations, and we extract the definition from the illustration. Do not add, says Rashi, a fifth parsha in the tefillin. Do not add a fifth tzitzis on your garment. Do not add a third parsha in your mezuzah. In one other occasion, he gives another example. A Kohen who blesses us can't add a fourth blessing. Has to only do your barakha, your heir, and Yisa Hashem Panavela. Can't add a fourth blessing. So if you hear those examples, and now you are asked to give me a definition. What is the definition of Baal Tosef according to Rashi?
Not changing
what?
The number.
Only a mitzvah that has a defined number, can't I tamper with that number? To add a fifth would be Baal Tosef. To detract and only put in three parshiot in my tefillin, or one parsha in the mezuzah, that's Baal Tigra, that's reducing. That's the only time Rashi believes there is Baal Tosef. So for 99% of the mitzvot, it doesn't apply. It applies in the 1% of mitzvot, where there is a well-defined number, we can't tamper with that number. But adding mitzvah number 614, Rashi never heard of or considered being a violation of Baal Tov. But the Ramban said, I think it is. Just one second. If you look at the Ramban, I bracketed in the middle of that long Ramban. Earlier, only did this quote Rashi. Just look, source Dalet on the right hand side, Ulefi Da'ati, in my humble opinion.
Thank God.
Afilu Bata La'asot Mitzvah Bifnei Atzma. Even if you want, fabricated a new mitzvah, Bada Milibo, is to make up your own mitzvah. Kigon She'asa Chag Achodesh She'bada Milibo Ki'irabah. Yerava Ben Nevat created new festival dates that we should worship God on those days. That's a violation according to the Ramban. Over the law. This was discussed in relationship to Mikra Megillah. I just told you the whole story. He quotes it. That the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah told Esther Mordechai, there were 180 Nevi'im. Nobody ever proposed making another Yodel except for you. And they go through the whole debate and they finally cave in. So, in theory, this touches upon Baal Tosif. And according to Ibn Ezra's understanding of the text, it reads very nicely. Lekayem aleihem et divrei ha'purim ha'ela, we pleading with Am Yisrael to observe the days of Purim, kasher kiyam aleihem divrei hatzomot v'zahakatam. Just as Am Yisrael accepted the obligation to fast the four fasts, even though it seems to be a violation of Baal Tosif, because the Torah only mandates one fast, we should be willing to observe Purim in the same enthusiasm and the same spirit that we accepted Tisha B'Av and all of the other fast days. And that's how this pasuk, in effect, comes to conclude the Megillah story itself. All right, stop here. Next week we'll go back to
Mother. Wonderful. Thank you.
Welcome.
So Mother,
that there should be no other training of the market tracking everything. Because otherwise there would be no observance. It would be swallowed up by your and all the other hundreds of tracks. We have No, it's different then, different somot. Yes.
Always bothers me that word, somot.
Uh huh.
You know how little I am when it comes to
grammar. Yes.
Just like you.